I think we have about half an hour or so, 45 minutes probably, to kind of go over stuff in regards to MDS. Anything related to your questions regarding MDS, caregivers, advocacy, medications, symptoms, whatever you guys want to talk about, this is your forum, your floor. How was lunch?
Good.
Don't fall asleep on me. I hope everybody ate a cookie or a brownie.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys have any diary questions about anything related to what we discussed today or your thinking, your digesting, besides the lunch?
Do well with this thing. About the thing that's going to be on the 24th in New Haven, is that something that we would go to as well, or is that something that is mostly professional people?
No, it's actually for you guys as well. I will be there myself along with another physician from New Haven, Connecticut. And MDS Foundation is doing another patient forum similar to today. And you will hear that doctor's perspective of MDS, what they have at their facility clinical trials, what's available, how do they treat their patients with MDS, and how they go about it. And again, I will be there doing the nurse's perspective, and you'll be listening to my lecture again. And again, having the floor basically open to patients and caregivers to talk about MDS and what's happening to them and how they're living with MDS. Everybody's welcome. We have some patients that like to go to one to the other. Sometimes we hold forums in Long Island, so New York City, then patients come over there and vice versa. So it varies depending on availability, how much you want to travel, and the doctor sometimes. Patients love seeing and hearing different physicians' perspective and how they take care of patients with MDS. So it's nice to hear, different physicians share their knowledge in about MDS. Yes, sir.
I don't remember if it was said or not, but what does Fox Chase Cancer Center have that other hospitals don't have
for MDS? So I know Hackensack does not have the clinical trials that she just talked about. We don't have that. We have different trials for MDS, and you would have to come to Hackensack for a consultation to learn about the different trials that we have. And I think that's the beauty of you guys living in East Coast. We were talking about that at lunch, that East Coast is so awesome in that way because there's so many different cancer centers, academic cancer centers that are keen on learning about MDS and doing research. And it can go from Massachusetts all the way down to Maryland, John Hopkins area. So you have a big span of different areas that focuses on MDS, which is nice. And you can shop around. Yes.
You probably should shop around if you want to move. I want to go overseas.
Overseas to live or to vacation?
To vacation, but actually it's to Habitat for Humanity.
Okay. Well, that's the beauty of MDS Foundation. We can link you to a centers of excellence, meaning like this place, right, Fox Chase, that is specialized in knowing how to take care of MDS patients. So if and when you're ready to go travel overseas beforehand, reach out to MDS Foundation and they will provide you with the nearest centers of excellence. So your information, your healthcare information, you will have, and your doctor will communicate with the doctor at the centers of excellence overseas. And you can be shared. Okay, that's the purpose. That's why you're here today. I'm so happy you came. Yeah. Yes.
Maybe I missed it, but are the presentations available somewhere?
They are.
The
They are. Tracy, the presentations that were done today, they're online or they're transcribed?
I can send them by email.
Okay, Deborah can send them to by email. Just make sure you share your email with her.
If you were undergoing treatment, you know, where you had to, say, every month get your inoculations, whatever, and you wanted to go to a different state, say you were going to go to Florida for the winter.
Yeah.
Could you, and you're going to be gone like two or three, that hasn't happened yet.
Snowbird.
Let's say Hawaii. That's
even better.
Ooh. Whatever. If you're going to go somewhere, you might as well go somewhere.
Of course.
But and you were going to be gone for several months, but you're undergoing these things, and you wouldn't have to go back, say, to here or Hackensack or whatever. Could it be possible
yes.
to get your treatments?
Of course.
With the doctor?
Communicating. You need to set up a treatment plan.
Yeah.
From your doctor here, pretend this is your facility that you're getting treated, with the facility in Hawaii.
Okay.
Pick a place in Maui that is open for business for cancer center specifically. If not cancer center, maybe a doctor that focuses on patients with MDS or iron deficiency anemia or something of that sort in the blood disorders. To communicate, and they will have to reach out to each other and say, I am accepting you as a patient for 3 months, and I will keep you posted along the way. You as a patient will also hope, you know, make sure that you keep records. So when you go back, your doctor here at Fox Chase has all this information on what happened to you in 3 months.
Okay, thank you.
I always tell patients, keep records of stuff. That's why you have the book with you today. Make copies if you need to so you can, you know, keep a record so you can communicate. You can communicate, help us as healthcare providers. There's papers always going back and forth. But you can be the intermediate party in helping the bridge it. Sometimes there's missing papers. So we always need help. Yes?
We've talked about medical treatments, standards such as Vidaza and others, and we've talked about clinical trials, and all of us wish that there was a pill out there on the table that we could take and go home and it was all over with, but that's not the case. Has anyone ever looked at anything or written anything on how to go about looking at the notion of a clinical trial or the standard procedure and looked at the outcomes for people that got involved in clinical versus the ones that may have stayed on the standard drugs? Is there anything out there to help someone think through with some clarity other than wishfulness about the clinical trials?
Sure. So clinical trials, the purpose of it is, believe it or not, it's to compare a standard therapy with a new compound. Okay, versus a new compound.
Right.
So the purpose is to find out if that new compound will overshine, be beneficial for the purpose of finding out whether it's working or not for the patient. So it does compare to the standard therapy. Now, if you're asking me just in general about explaining something about a clinical trial, there's different phases of different clinical trials.
I was really kind of curious about people who are betting on clinical trials. What's their track record?
So clinical...
It sounds great, but what are your odds if you're on a clinical trial that you'll receive a benefit as compared to
somebody
the rates that for the standard therapies? And there's, you know, so it's a good game to get into.
It is. Well, it's a patient decision, but I think it's important to be informed decision.
And that's the heart of my question. How
yes.
do I do that?
And I think for you as a patient, you will need to know, if I choose not to do the clinical trial, what are my options for standard? Do I only have one option for standard, two, three? How many options do I have remaining? That's number one avenue that you want to review. Sometimes with clinical trials, there's criteria that you have to meet. Sometimes you have to do one standard therapy to fail it to be eligible for a clinical trial. sometimes they may say, I want a brand new MDS patient with no exposure to any chemicals, no treatments, no nothing as part of the clinical trial. So every clinical trial has criteria that you meet. Sometimes you meet them, sometimes you don't. What I tell patients is standard therapy will always be there. It's not going anywhere. So if you decide not to do the clinical trial, standard therapy will always be there as an option available. The clinical trial is there as a means to get medications to see if they work and get them approved on at a safe level, obviously. Without doing clinical trials on patients, for patients who have MDS on Vidaza, we wouldn't have gotten Vidaza approved. We wouldn't have gotten Dacogen approved. So patients like yourself who think about wanting to do clinical trials, it's something for you to be very informed. Ask the questions. And how do you do that? You go through the logistics of what the drug is, what are the side effects, what phase of clinical trial it is. Is it in the beginning phase with phase one, where the drug is literally found to be effective on cancer cells, but they haven't tested it on humans? Phase two, do you want to see maybe 20 patients and find out what dose adjustment do we need to do for those 20 patients first, then the next 20 patients with the higher dose, the next 20 patients with a little bit of a higher dose, which dose is appropriate for that type of cancer and the dosing for it. Phase three is basically an entire room full of audience here filled with MDS patients and they're on a clinical trial. So it's a larger population to find out symptoms and management, toxicity, all of those things come into place for phase three. So that's why it's important to know what trial that you want to consider enrolling. Being informed is huge. Phase four is pretty much a done deal. The trial is working, it's effective, and we now are ready to put it on the market. And we're just waiting for FDA to say, check. Yes?
This reminds me about SIG-110. Is it peculiar to Fox Chase? Do they have a patent on it, or is
I don't know.
Or is it in phase three or four?
I don't know. It sounds like from what I heard today that I think they were doing phase two, but they're expanding their experiments or clinical trials to fitting different populations of patients with different levels of MDS as well as AML. So they're doing different things. I can't comment too much because I don't know. What you may want to do is, again, go on that website that she mentioned and I would also mention to you. It's clinicaltrials.gov.
.gov?
G-O-V. Because it's a federally run website.
National Institute.
No, just, yeah, regular, just all the clinical trials have to be inputted into that system. Yeah.
There's a clinical trial that I was told about. It's two of them. One of them starts with an A and a D together for a series of 5 days, and then, you know, so many days off or a month off, and then you do it again. It's a complete cycle. The other one is a double-blind study, which I had a feeling one of them would be that, and I'm definitely not interested, you know, with the placebo. And
sure.
So what do you think about that? What do you say about these double-blind studies and how? What kind of information has been retrieved from that?
There are many different types, again, of clinical trials. I think what you need to find out from the physician is what is their end product that they're looking for? What is their primary end product? What are they looking? Are they looking for people to survive? Are they looking for a response? Are they looking for, you know, what are they looking for, actually? And I think it's a personal choice. Nobody pressures patients to enroll in a clinical trial. It's a voluntary decision. At any point you decide to enroll and say 5 days later you're saying to yourself, you know what, I don't feel comfortable, I want to not do this anymore, you tell your doctor you don't want to do this anymore and you want standard treatment, fine.
What if you say that? Are you able to do another blind study? I mean,
of course. I mean, that's,
I mean a clinical trial.
Of course you are, as long as you're eligible, you meet the criteria, and it's applicable for your type of disease. Yes. Yes, miss.
I just wanted to clarify, because I actually am in clinical research, and a double-blind study just means that it's blinded to both you and the physician. It doesn't mean there's a placebo control arm of it. So in oncology, you very rarely see any kind of medication being compared to a placebo, which means just like a sugar pill. So it's usually standard of care versus what new medication they're looking at. And the questions you need to ask when you go into a clinical trial will be, what kind of follow-up am I receiving? You know, how are they monitoring how effective my treatment is being? And you can always make a choice and always consult with your doctor to determine whether or not you should continue on the clinical trial or if you want to stop and you want to do a different therapy. So before you say no to a clinical trial, sit down and really talk to the nurse, talk to the doctor, find out what kind of standard of care you'll be getting in that trial. And for those people who don't have insurance, it may be a great option because they are more conservative in your follow-up and your care. So you will get the same type of care that you're getting now. So just keep your mind open, make sure you're asking this, you know, the right questions, but no worries, an oncology study will not have a placebo arm. It's not, you're gonna get some form of treatment. And again, you have to make a decision based on data. You could talk about the data based on what phase the study is. You can ask your physician, hey, you know, is this a phase 3 study? They should have a lot of data on, you know, dosing, toxicities already, because they're going to file for approval. So you can ask those questions and make an educated decision on how to move forward.
Is there a website that I can get these questions?
You can go to patient advocacy groups. You can go to the NCI, the National Cancer Institute. I'm sure they'll have information. If you Google, you know, thoughts about clinical trials, something should come up with questions that you might want to ask your physician. And they'll give you a consent form. So you have to read through the consent form. A lot of it is over your head. It's over my head, and I develop them. But just sit down and just go through all the consents. I mean, some of the stuff, the side effects will scare you, just like some of the medications that you get. You'll see
53 pages, one trial.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Unfortunately,
but
that's the way it is.
Yeah, but that's, again, you have to understand when you're doing a clinical trial, you want them to be at that detailed. Because you don't want to just a one-page clinical trial and be like, oh, yeah, I just need your signature here. And not go through all the things that possibly could happen. And it's so important to make sure that we inform you of the things that could possibly happen. And it's scary. It's scary. It's not easy. Tracy, quick question. With the research component, do we include that in the binder with adding on? Maybe we could in having patients understand about clinical trials.
I'm actually not sure if it's in there or not, but definitely questions, like you were saying.
Yeah, I think it would be a great idea to add it in or consider it maybe in the future,
definitely.
You know, for people to know that, you know, because we're always sending referring patients for clinical trials here and there, because when you guys call and say, is there a trial available?
Exactly. Audrey Hassan, our patient liaison, when she screens people, just even by first contact, she already is thinking of a trial that may be beneficial to you. And she's perfectly willing to talk for as long as it takes to talk through those trials. You'll find in our newsletter and in our handouts, there are some flyers for different clinical trials. That doesn't mean they're the only ones that exist. They're just the ones that we're highlighting at this moment. So there's multiple trials, and Audrey can help you navigate clinicaltrial.gov and answer those questions.
Yeah, good point. So yeah, we can... I don't know, we can work on something, adding it into our binder on top of all the other stuff that we've, you know, noted in understanding about MDS.
Are clinical trials routinely limited to only high-risk people?
No, not at all. It depends on the design, the way the physicians and the companies, they want to design the trial. So it could be specifically designed for example, patients who have MDS, deletion 5, and they're doing standard therapy with, or comparing two different compounds, the compound that they're studying and the standard therapy. So again, it's a specific type of means. So it trials are, it depends on the physician and what they're trying to achieve. They want to see whether this compound is going to have a response to deletion 5Q, like Dr. Raza. Yeah.
I don't know if you can answer this, but my doctor has mentioned Vidaza. I take Neupogen and Aranesp now. I get a shot of each once a week. Is there an advantage from that, from the Vidaza to the two drugs that I get now?
So it depends on where you are for you with your disease and what level of disease that you have in your system. Meaning, if and when... So Neupogen, what this gentleman is receiving is growth factors. He's receiving growth factors is to stimulate that garden that I talked about, to tell the seeds, let's get churning, keep moving. And it includes two different entities to help them, specifically the white blood cells and the red blood cells for him. Again, it's an individualized treatment plan to the type of MDS that he has. And it's at a level where the doctor thinks that using growth factors to stimulate that garden, the bone marrow, will help and revive the garden, the bone marrow. So it's a special kind of like different fertilizer, not the weed killer, fertilizer, like different, you know, what you use in a garden, you know, different manures, the little for soils, calcium, all the different things. So in your aspect, in your treatment plan, it's Neupogen, growth factor, white blood cell, stimulation, and Aranesp, the red blood cell. Vidaza is usually reserved for a next step if and when your fertilizer stopped working.
My hemoglobin's going down. I mean, it used to hover around 9.6, now it's down at 8.8. It's been that way for about a month now. So that would be my next progression, would be the Vidaza, right?
Correct.
Okay, I got you.
So it all depends on what level of disease you have. Mm-hmm. And that's why I tell patients, know what type you have, how much you have, where you're at in the category. Is it a low risk? Is it a low risk? Intermediate 1, 2, high, or higher risk, you know, closer to AML. I think that's important so you understand where you are at in your treatment plan.
Low risk.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. You answer it. Thank you.
No problem.
What?
So who's going on vacation? I heard one vacationer going to... Sorry, what did she say she was going? What did you say? Phyllis, where'd you go?
Caribbean,
East Caribbean, yes. So I'm excited for her. Hope you don't have any hurricane. Where are you going?
We're
going
to go, hopefully in December, we're going to go to Washington State.
Washington State? In
Seattle,
ooh.
Tacoma.
In December?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a nice time.
It's cold.
No, it's not. Believe it or not, it's not.
Are you going to Vancouver? Are you going to take a trip to Vancouver?
It's Bill's son lives there with his wife and two grandchildren.
That must be nice. I went
my son lives there, but it's really the four
grandchildren. Forget about the son, just about the grandkids. I hear you. Oh, that must be nice. I went to Seattle in May, and I hit, no lie. It was that one weekend I went there. Mm-hmm. It was a cheese festival. It was the best. I got cheese farmers coming from north of in Washington all the way down to California, and they all came there at Pike Market to like sample and showcase their cheeses, and they got barrels and barrels. On top of it, they had wine. You can't go back. You can't go get better than that. It was the best weekend.
And then it's mild. I was stationed at Fort Lewis, which is now Lewis McCord. And it was always mild, temperate there.
Oh, nice. I love Seattle.
I like Mount
Special
Rainier.
Special place in my heart.
Mount Rainier is the best.
I haven't been there. Next time. Any other vacations? No, we're just looking forward to the holidays, right? Halloween, Thanksgiving, they all come roll around. Well, thank you guys again for coming and sharing, and I hope you to see you again. If not here, maybe somewhere else. And only wish you guys a wealth of happiness and health. And keep me posted if you guys need anything and you have MDS Foundation, both Tracy and Deb, to reach out, and Audrey to reach out to for any resources, questions that you may have. Thank you for having me come over. I appreciate it.